Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes?
Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton bedding from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and breathable sheets. You'll experience pure comfort on night one and feel your bedding get softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first order at BollAndBranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hot teams.
That ass is so hot right now.
Hot quarterbacks.
Jeez, look at the butt on that.
And hot takes.
Yeah, he must work out.
This is Danny and Dusty on Conference Championship Week.
Brought to you by Smartline Home Design, a trusted local architectural design studio ready to bring your dream home to life. Visit smartlinehomedesign.com.
Danny and Dusty on 1080.
Oh, hi.
The Fan.
Hour number three here on a Wednesday on Danny and Dusty. Whether you're listening on 1080 AM, watching along on YouTube.com/1080AM The Fan or Twitch.tv/1080AM The Fan. We appreciate you. We love you. Thank you for hanging out with us on this wonderful, wonderful Wednesday. And it is indeed a Wednesday. Look at that. I remember the day.
See?
I remember the day.
All you needed was a reminder 2 hours ago.
Yeah, there you go. During the middle of the day.
Yeah, dude.
During the day yesterday, because the Blazers are on an East Coast swing, a Florida Frog Hop is what I'm taking to calling the trip between Miami and Orlando.
Oh, what are they crossing over France?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Wow.
Well, I wanted to make an alligator reference, but there's just no way to. Alligator. Florida. I don't
know. Gator roll.
It's not bad.
The gator roll from Miami up to Orlando.
God, that'd be a long gator roll.
It happens. You know?
Shredded to pieces.
Yeah, just look what happened to Dalton Schultz.
Yeah, there you go. That's a tough gator roll. But I want to circle back to the game because we didn't really talk about the game. We talked really about Jimmy Butler and the Heat and what's going on there. And a quick little update, John Gambadoro, who does radio in Phoenix, has confirmed, and he's about as sourced as it gets when it comes to Phoenix news, that Bradley Beal would indeed waive his no-trade clause for the Milwaukee Bucks, which is what we were talking about in the first hour.
Okay, now this is interesting, though, because the way that Bradley Beal operates all of these moves, right?
He has final saysies.
He has, because he has a no trade clause.
Only one in the NBA.
But he has like this hard line where reportedly, like, he doesn't approach the team and say this.
You come to him.
The team will have to say, hey, are you open to a move? And at that point, he'll be like, yeah.
Because it's not just
but
where.
These are the places.
It's not just where. Because he almost went to Milwaukee. Well, this is reported now. So he almost went to Milwaukee. Before he got dealt to Phoenix.
Right.
But he didn't like the other moves the Bucks were going to make that deal happen.
It's actually smart of him.
No, it genuinely is. This is like the same thing we're talking about with the offensive coordinators and assistants being like, no, I don't like that stuff going on there. I'm not going to go there.
Yeah.
So, but this is a player kind of having that. And the fact that a player has this is insane. Again, shout out to his agent. My God, what an incredible thing to have. But he is open to that move. And again, I've heard of a four team. I'm still trying to figure out which fifth team would be involved as a potential facilitator.
I mean, outside of the Blazers, obviously.
Yeah, they're not there.
Oh.
Yeah, I have not. Look, if they get into this, it would be out of nowhere, which wouldn't be out of the norm for them and how they operate. They do, you know, walk quietly and carry a big stick, so to speak, when they do transactions. Like, oh, it's there. But when you have this many teams, it's hard to keep things quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And for them to not be in this at all, like even when the Dane to Milwaukee stuff, like I talked about Ayton a lot because I knew Phoenix had been a part of conversations and I'd heard Jared Allen's name in Cleveland early in the process. The Blazers were looking to find a big that made sense. And there was only so many that made sense when you started moving salaries. It's not, you don't have to be, you know, a mind reader to figure it out. But with this, there's only so many spots that things can go because Beal holds that magic no trade clause.
Sure.
So I think there's a likely chance that this happens as far as like all trades are unlikely. I think there's a more likely chance because I think Jimmy has made this so toxic in Miami. It is what it is. But speaking of Miami, the Portland Trailblazers did play in Miami.
They did.
And I think you kind of saw what the Blazers hope to see this season in that.
A win?
Well, not just a win, but something that made sense. And I think you saw Ant play well, Scoot play well, Denny play well, despite not having the stats really to back it up as far as like he went 5 of 10 from the free throw line and 1 of 6 from 3.
But I think that if you're looking at what a productive day for Denny Avdija is in this team, in this roster,
it's all of the things.
A double-double is it right there, right? And he went, 16, 10, and 5.
Yeah. And that's like he should have had like 22, 10, and 5 because he hits 1-3 and two more free throws, which let's just say he's 70% from the line instead of 50%. Well, you add 5 more points to 16, you know,
pretty good.
Now you're, or what was it, 16 or 18? I can remember. 16.
16.
Yeah. So you get a night like that and you have 21, 10, and 5.
That's a pretty incredible night.
That's a month. But that's the thing is, like, you look at his performances over the last couple of weeks and you're like, that's kind of becoming norm. The thing that I said about Denny when they acquired him, like I said, when he's fully integrated, I think he's like a 17-7, 17-8-5 guy. And that's not an all-star, but it's like the highest-end role player in the league.
I think we get caught way too much in just stat-line watching because I think where Blazer fans are right now is that there's this desperation, there's this want to have a star.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is a team that is truly
something on
void of stars. When you have a roster full of role players, you want to see within the context of a game, as you said earlier, have the game make sense.
Mm-hmm.
And so many of the Blazers games have not made sense.
Parts of it have made sense.
It's looked bad at times. Mm-hmm. Last night, to your point of what Blazer fans are hoping to see, aside from wins and losses, what you want to see is, are the guys that are going to be here moving forward playing those roles that they will be productive moving forward? We talked about this with Scoot. It wasn't his biggest scoring night over the last 5-game stretch where he's been playing a lot better. But at the same time, it was probably his best game overall because of context of what the team was trying to accomplish, and he was actually getting it done and facilitating it, which is a point guard's role.
Yes.
It was 11 points, but it was 8 assists.
He fit in seamlessly.
That made it look like, okay, this makes sense. Denny's role, it made sense, mm-hmm. right? And then, like, for me, I don't know what the future has in store for the other three guys that were in that starting lineup, right? Jeremy Grant, DeAndre Ayton, and Anfernee Simons. But whatever you can get to maximize those guys looked better playing alongside him. Those guys have looked uncomfortable for most of the season playing alongside Scoot Henderson. So that, to me, is encouraging of, okay, are things starting to click for him?
Despite those guys leading and scoring, the veterans, Ant, D.A., Jeremy, I thought for really the first time, Scoot helped elevate them. And that's the point of those guys being there, was that it makes it easier for him to do his job. To be the facilitator.
What a novel concept.
I know. It's a crazy thing. Like, this is the drum that I've been beating.
Yeah.
It's like, this is like, you want to see it to where Scoot doesn't have to do all the things. He doesn't feel like he has to make every play. Though I think the one downside to this is that Shaden, I think he's obviously taking it on the nose, getting pushed to the bench. His pride's probably a little hurt. I think that's a real thing. And it's something that happens, but.
And the reason why it is happening, though, I understand why he is frustrated, because the reason why him getting pushed to the bench was his defensive effort.
Mm-hmm.
When Scoot is getting his playing time elevated, it's been pretty disastrous at times on that end of the floor.
It's tough.
I can see how that doesn't sit well with him, but at the same time, you're not playing the same position.
No, and it's also the same thing of like, you've been given more leash than he has early on. Now, you earned it, so to speak, but also there was a point in time where the other players didn't think you earned it.
For sure.
Remember his rookie year when he was getting tick over Nasir Little?
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you right now, the veterans in the locker room were not happy about that.
No.
Because they did not feel like he earned it. Now Shaden's getting a little taste of that, of like, well, he didn't. It's like, well, yeah, he's the new young shiny thing, bud. He's getting his opportunity now. Welcome to the rat race.
That's what happens, my dude.
And it's like, yeah, this is the same situation. Like, he is now elevated enough to where he's going to be given a little pass because he's showing a little something. The same thing that happened to you. The whole idea of like, yeah, you showed a little something. So you're getting a little bit more tick. You're getting like, there. If for everybody's like, I want the same rules for everybody, that's not how it exists.
Yeah.
You're like, even in a militant organization like the Miami Heat, you're seeing that play out in real time.
Yeah.
The same rules don't apply to Jimmy that apply to Khalil Ware.
By the way, do you see rules are applying to Jimmy?
Mm.
Jimmy's been suspended for 2 games by the Miami Heat.
My man was point shaving last night.
No, he missed a team flight and on Wednesday, he had plans to join the Heat tonight. Now Miami is keeping him home for its 2-game road
trip. See, that one they can suspend him for.
Yeah, he missed the team flight.
You missed the team flight. They can get you for that. That's violation of team rules and travel.
He did it on purpose, though, too.
Yeah.
He's saying, dare you. But that also,
I'm staying home until you trade me.
This is the thing about Jimmy that I don't get,
mm-hmm.
is like, now you are giving all that 10-page memo that they sent to the NBAPA and to the NBA saying, no, we suspended him with cause. Mm-hmm. Now you're giving credence to that, and you're probably going to, the NBAPA is going to be like, dude, how are we going to fight for you in this one?
Well, they'll fight on the 7-game suspension or 6-game suspension, whatever that was. And they'll probably get half of it back, I would imagine. Mm-hmm. That's at least, I should say, that's what I've heard from other people who are like, yeah, they just, with the team stuff, they make you go, yeah, but, you know, this, and this, because you can't have it like iron fist against the teams, against the PA, because it's not good for anybody. But this one, he's going to lose all his money.
Yeah, he's going to lose his money.
It's like when Zion got suspended for missing the flight. And again, it wasn't the first time he missed the flight. Stars don't ever get suspended for missing the flight the first time.
No.
It's like the fifth time.
Yeah. Yeah,
because a lot of times
a bold move by him.
Guys will catch up later.
Yeah,
like, that's.
I'm looking here.
Rules are different across the NBA. Like when the Heat were playing the Nuggets in the finals, did you catch that in the Ramona Shelburne article? He stayed at a mansion 30 miles away from the team hotel in Denver.
No way.
Hey, Heat culture, baby. Heat culture. They don't. Everybody has to abide. It's all everybody on the same, you know, pulling on the rope on the same time.
I'm going to see here though, because I what would be interesting is if Jimmy did this on purpose because of the jock tax. We know what the jock tax is, mm-hmm. which is where each state has a states have.
It's higher cheaper for him to stay in Florida than to go to the state.
Yeah, he's like, fine, I'll just take that.
Where are they going?
They're going to Wisconsin and New York. I know New York is on the list.
New York is a massive one.
But I don't know about Wisconsin.
I still think California is the highest.
Yeah. Well, Illinois, California are two of the highest. 13.3% in California.
Yeah. It's bonkers, dude. That's on top of the taxes that you pay on top of that.
Yeah.
So it's very prohibitive to play there.
Yikes.
And yet you can make a lot of money back in endorsements.
Sure can, Bob.
That's the important thing. But I think this is a despite it being the least impactful box score for Scoot Henderson, I've found his last 2 games to be the most comfortably reinforcing thing I have seen from him, because it's more about point guard play than ball go in hoop. Because you're going to have variance in the ball going in. Like that happens. Sometimes you can't control that. For all of the stuff that's out there as far as shooting, Some nights you just can't. What you can control is how you run the team, how you get your team into stuff, and how you set guys up.
Boy, we're going coach speak here with the control the controllables, but it's true.
It's true. It's particularly as when you're talking about a guy like Scoot.
Yep.
Like, we're a guy who's not going to be leaned on to take 20-plus shots a night. Like, that's not his profile. So if he starts doing that, like, somebody asked me, I want to say probably 2 months ago, like, my ideal outcome for Scoot. It was physical Andre Miller.
Okay. Like, I like that.
But not the post game, but, like, heady, smart, gets you into stuff, high-level passer, lob king. Look, because here's the thing. Scoot is a lob king. Mm-hmm. He has great timing and feel on lobs. And the Blazers just have not had that in a decade.
Every now and then can go off when you need him. Not even when you need him to. Just he'll go off and you'll be like, where did that come from?
Yeah, but it's about getting your team in the right places and being physical and being precise. Like Andre Miller did the most by doing the least.
Yeah.
And that's what I want to see from Scoot. Be effective without having to go hezzy, tween, attack. It's like, no, man, simplify the game. He's looked his best these last couple of games, simplifying his game, having a plan on attacking. And it's looked so effortless. And that's the thing. And like, that has been missing for 95 games.
Yeah. Well, hopefully it will happen. I'm going and I was looking at like on the start of Andre Miller's career.
Mm-hmm. I think he was a 4-year guy at Utah, I think.
Yeah.
So he came out a little bit older.
He was 23 when he came in.
Yeah, he was a 4-year guy.
But it was like 11-5 shooting 44% from mm-hmm. the field in his rookie year, 20% from three.
Not a 3-point shooter at all.
No.
And I think Scoot will end up being a better shooter.
Yeah, he was like 11 points, 3 rebounds, 5.8 assists, mm-hmm. a steal every game. I mean, that was Andre Miller's first year in the NBA.
And I think Scoot's past that.
And as he kind of progressed, I mean, the back end of his career, he was literally just a facilitator.
Yeah, but there was like the peak of his career. What was his highest points per game?
17.
Yep. That's the number I've had for Scoot for years.
17.
Since he was drafted.
17 points, 4 rebounds, 7 assists.
I've had him as like
2007, 2008.
I've had him as like a 17-9-5 guy.
Yeah.
Like that's what I've always thought of him as being like, and that's not a shot at him. Like,
no,
that's a difficult thing to do.
Here's the thing though, when you're drafted third overall, mm-hmm. The expectations are that you're going to be something completely different.
But I mean, 17, I mean, even that was when he was drafted.
Yeah.
Like 17-9, like if you're flirting with a double-double every night.
Well, I know, but I'm just saying the expectations, not by you, but from the masses are that is, you should be a volume scorer. And Andre Miller was the 8th overall pick, mm-hmm. not number 3 overall. But there's a big difference but he's still a top 10 pick.
That's exactly what I mean, though. Like, it's like, I think even on draft night, like 17-9-5 is a really good outcome.
Yeah.
Like a genuine, like if he's that, a guy who can, that means if he's 17-9-5, that means he's a guy that can get you a triple double. That means on any given night, he can be a 20-10 guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you're averaging 17-9-5, that means on a normal night, you're plus, like if you look at the NBA right now, how many guys are averaging that or better? It's a very short list.
Yeah. Be effective with your time.
Don't turn the ball over. Capitalize on your playmaking opportunities. And when scoring opportunities present themselves, be more efficient.
Mm-hmm. There.
Like the path is there for him.
Yep. I'm there with you.
Now, if he can get there, we'll see. All right. Come up next, the Baseball Hall of Fame. Did they get it right? Danny and Dusty, 1080 Fan.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
The Baseball Hall of Fame has made their announcements for this year's class. And somebody somewhere deserves a good paddling. Ichiro Suzuki, 393 of 394 possible votes.
Yeah.
What is going on here?
I don't know.
Who is this human and why are you terrible?
But I don't know why somebody wants to be cool and just be like, no, I'm not going to vote for him. He's going to get in anyways. This is what they usually do. I used my vote for somebody else that's also deserving. I knew he was going to get in. It's like, no, vote for the best players to get in. It doesn't matter if they are a first ballot or a fifth ballot. Vote for the most deserving
yes.
players. If you felt that Ichiro was not deserving of the Hall of Fame, then you should not be voting for the Baseball Hall of Fame. And this goes back to like all of the other guys that came one vote
well,
shy.
Derek Jeter is the only other person to become one singular vote shy, and I'd argue he had no business being one vote shy of being a unanimous Hall of Famer. Mm-hmm. He finished ahead of Ken Griffey, Tom Seaver, Nolan Ryan, yep. Cal Ripken Jr. Every single one of those players is bigger, better, and more important than Derek Jeter.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if more important just because of what Derek Jeter became as like the face of the New York Yankees.
Well, that's the thing is
the captain,
the media,
but they
part of it.
He was not as good of a player.
He was never the best player on his own team.
Mm. He was really damn good.
He was.
And he
Absolutely.
Was a Hall of Famer.
He's a Hall of Famer.
For sure. For sure. That's the issue that I take with a lot of these people that vote with in the Baseball Hall of Fame is that they're going to hold guys back that should be in the, like Alex Rodriguez got 37% of the vote. I get it. Steroids. Don't want steroid guys in. He should be in, right? Felix Hernandez, 20% of the vote. Felix Hernandez should be in the Hall of Fame.
Yes, just because he didn't get the
his team sucked.
Yeah, he was the most dominant pitcher for a decade.
I mean, if you want to go back and like people are going to gatekeep the Hall of Fame for all of the different reasons, right? Why you can go back and the guys that are in the Hall of Fame, there's guys that are in the Hall of Fame that were horrible people.
Oh God.
That cheated the game in a variety mm-hmm. of ways and off the field were terrible people too. Mm-hmm. Right. The baseball Hall of Fame, any sports Hall of Fame.
It's about the sport.
It's a museum of the history of the game. And I say this about Mike Leach, and the stupid reason why he is not in the Hall of Fame is because he's one win shy of hitting the threshold. The man coached at Texas Tech, Washington State, and Mississippi State and is still one win shy. He died. They won the bowl game. He didn't get credit for that win, right? You can't tell the story of college football without Mike Leach. You can't tell the story of Major League Baseball without a lot of the steroid users. You can't. Like Carlos Beltran, he's on the cusp of getting in, got 70.3% of the vote. You need 75% to get in. Is that right?
75 or 70. I can never remember.
Well, he got 70.3 and didn't get in.
Okay, so it must be 75.
So he is a guy that they're withholding votes because of his role in the Astros cheating scandal in 2017. Right? Which
it's all very dumb.
That they're saying, well, you cheated the game. Guess where he got a lot of the stuff that he was using? Wasn't in Houston.
No.
You know, a lot of those guys were bringing things that they all learned.
Prolific.
And they said, you know what? We're going to put it on
they
steroids.
They supercharged it, yes.
They sure as hell did. But you have a lot of really, you have some of the best players to ever play baseball that aren't in the Hall of Fame. And you want to pretend like we can't tell the story of the game without them in there. No, we all still mention them. It's ridiculous that Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens
best hitter of all time
are not in the Hall of Fame.
Like, it's just, it is what it is.
It's going to be ridiculous when Alex Rodriguez is not in the Hall of Fame. And
to pretend that the pitchers at the time weren't also juiced.
That's true. But I think
it wasn't just Clemens, guys.
The Ichiro getting in and getting 393 of 394, that one guy, first of all, don't be a coward. Come forward.
Yeah.
Let us know why you didn't do it.
I love the public voting that comes out with the NBA. It's wonderful.
But
we can name and shame.
That man is more deserving than any other person. Like,
one of the greatest players to ever live.
Ever. Ever. And if you take his career where some of his prime was in Japan, and you add his stats, he's the hit king of professional baseball.
By
at all levels.
An order of magnitude.
He is, in all of the stories of Ichiro could have hit for power, but that's not what he was asked to do, no. So he didn't do it. And it's like, yeah, he could have.
He could have been a 400 home run guy.
The thing about Ichiro that is a stat that amazes me. Ryan Spader has this stat. In his 10th career at bat, he hit a single to center field. After that point, his 10th career at bat, he never dipped below 300 again in his entire career.
Good God.
His career average stayed over 300 from his 10th career at bat all the way through his entirety of his career.
Well, and he came over at what? I think I was the age of 29 and over 3,000 hits after the age of 29.
Nuts.
That's bananas.
Hold on. I have to see something here now. So he came over 01 and he had 9,934 at bats. Mm-hmm. So for 9,924 at bats, he stayed above 300.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty
good.
That's
insane.
Hit for his career batting average. Yeah.
And to be clear, this is a guy who led baseball in at bats for 8 years.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
8 years.
Yeah, pretty good, huh?
And the man was 37 years old in 2011 and led baseball in at-bats.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he was freakish is what he was. 2, 3.
Goodness gracious.
And by the way, his final 8 seasons in Major League Baseball, in each individual season, he did not hit over 300.
No. Because that's the big thing is he had the
he had 8 seasons not hitting over 300. That's how incredible it was that he hit 350,
he had
372, yeah. 322, 351, 352. Like, yeah. What?
Yeah. And it's not just having that average, it's having that average with 700 at bats a year.
Mind-boggling, isn't it?
Yeah, dude.
The other one is, I know we're kind of up against it here.
The MVP and Rookie of the Year doesn't deserve, though, be unanimous Hall of Famer.
Well, he wasn't really
a Rookie of the Year because he was 29 and he already played like 10 years in Japan. Yeah. So was he really a rookie?
His first year playing in the United States of America.
Where the competition goes up.
He was the best. MVP, the Rookie of the Year, Gold Glove winner, mm-hmm. Silver Slugger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No.
Just chill, dude. Save some of the awards for everybody else.
Right? And he said, nah, no. My favorite story of Ichiro still, though, is the Who the F is Tom Brady story.
Oh, that's so great.
And
everybody like, what?
I don't like A-Rod. He should still be in the Hall of Fame.
Yes.
Don't like him. But A-Rod confirmed. He's like, yeah, no, that's true. But what happened was Ichiro walked into the training room and was like, some guy is asking... said Alex Rodriguez gave his number to me and he wants to come and learn my stretching routine. And they're like, well, who is it? He's like, Tom Brady. Who the is Tom Brady in 2017?
That is a man who lives and breathes baseball.
This wasn't
way off.
This wasn't 2001 where you could have like that. Nah, maybe I don't know who Tom Brady is. No, that man just went, I am baseball, baseball, baseball. Once baseball is over, I go back to Japan where I don't hear about football.
Baseball been very, very good to me.
I don't know who Tom Brady is.
Also, you know what else you know by this? He didn't have Shohei's bookie.
Yeah, no.
Because he would know.
He would know.
Just saying. I want to talk about CC Sabathia, but maybe we can save it for another day. Because the whole idea of a pitcher with less than 300 wins making the Hall of Fame.
I think it's changing.
The change is coming.
Well, and also like Billy Wagner getting in.
Another closer.
Go Astros.
A pitcher with more pounds than
and
wins.
Don't. Or you're talking CC. Billy Wagner.
Yeah, no.
I'm like, what?
I could be wrong. CC was that dude, but mm-hmm. the mark for Hall of Fame for pitchers has basically been 300 wins,
yeah,
and he's at 251.
Yeah,
that's a pretty substantial gap.
But I think the world that we live in now, pitchers aren't going to hit that number, and like, CC deserves it.
No, and the reason I was like, that's interesting, and I was like, who's the other pitcher of the generation? I was like, how many wins does Clayton Kershaw have? It's like 221. I'm like, oh boy, there's a big difference.
Yeah.
The pitcher's wins very different going forward.
Yeah, I mean, in like Billy Wagner... getting into this is kind of that changing in how you're viewing closers because he isn't like top five saves of all time.
I think he's fourth.
He's eighth.
Is he eighth?
Yeah. 422 career saves, 225 came with the Astros, are eighth most in big league history.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's like.
Oh, he is the fourth highest strikeout rate. That's what it is.
That dude was a.
Nothing but gas.
He was so fun. Just, and don't confuse him with Brad Lidge, everybody. Not different human beings. There's a lot of people out there.
Brad Lidge is the one that watched the ball go very, 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 very,
whiplash.
Very far when Albert Pujols mashed it to another dimension.
Yeah, yeah.
That was fun.
That broke Brad. Well, hey, who's still in the NLCS that year?
That was fun.
that was not Billy Wagner. He was after.
No, he was after. All right, coming up next, with some more NFL news and notes that we haven't got to, just kind of do a little smorgasbord as well as a few other hires. And where are some coaching hires come next? But first, it's Big Kahuna with Sports and Update.
I hear they got some tasty burgers.
Oh, we got some news and notes around the NFL. Some good, some bad. Some good and bad.
Oh.
I want to have a little bit of fun with this one. Did you see what Bills fans are doing? Because they're notorious for doing very sideways but funny things.
Yeah, they know how to really dig a knife into your side. But to do it in the kindest way possible.
Yeah, I mean, to jump onto the table in the nicest way possible, as it were. This is filing under the something positive section. Bills fans have gone to Ravens tight end Mark Andrews' charity and donated nearly $40,000 to it.
Remember, they did this with Andy Dalton.
Yep.
When Andy Dalton sealed the deal for them to get a playoff spot, they bombarded him with charitable contributions. This is what the people of Buffalo do.
They embrace their heroes.
Well, they may be the same fan base that throws adult toys onto the field during games when Rob Gronkowski is playing.
What toys are those, Dusty?
You can use your imagination on that one. But it also is a fan base that gives back with their charitable contributions. Yeah. They really do care. And Mark Andrews going through it. Not just the fumble, the drop 2-point conversion. Boy, he bailed out those Bills fans quite a bit.
Well, the one thing's for sure is they love Andy Dalton a little bit more than Mark Andrews, because Andy Dalton's charity got over $250,000 after that game.
$250,000?
Yeah, that's how much they raised. Pretty crazy. Now, yeah, $40,000 is nothing to sneeze at, but it's still like they really appreciated Andy Dalton.
Well, gosh, let's just think about inflation too, right? Here. Yeah. Like that $250,000.
It's a lot.
That's a lot of money, man. Yeah. Whoa.
So, another, I say, good news, bad news situation. My Raiders made a GM hire.
Hey, this is a good one.
I believe they have gone down the right path. I believe.
Okay.
They've hired John Spytek, the former AGM of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I wonder what connection could have been made there.
Mm-hmm.
As Thomas Edward Brady is.
Oh, that's right.
The ownership group for the Raiders.
But I also will say, hire from productive and good organizations that draft well. Yeah.
I mean, Light's done really well there.
He has done a phenomenal job drafting, developing, finding a system of guys that will work to build an organization. Commanders did the exact same thing with Adam Peters, who they hired away from San Francisco, right? They hired the assistant general manager to John Lynch, his right-hand man, and they say, you know what we're going to do? We're going to follow that path, and that's how we're going to grow this thing. And I don't know if anybody's followed along. The Washington Commanders are currently in the NFC title game. They play the Philadelphia Eagles this weekend.
Mm.
I think they're doing a pretty good job. So it's not like this foolproof method, but at the same time, it has proven that get guys from successful cultures in really good places that draft well tends to work out.
Yeah, if you look at the Tampa Bay Bucks draft history over the last couple of years, they've done pretty well. They've done pretty well. So the Raiders, with the exception of last year, have not.
Mm.
Which is kind of funny because Telesco gets the 1 year. It's like, his draft was really good. Might have ultimately got the best non-quarterback in the entire draft.
Yeah.
In Brock Bowers.
Pretty good.
Not too bad. All right. Coming up next, we're going to keep it in the NFL. And Ben Johnson throwing down a little bit of smack talk.
Love it.
Love it. We'll get to that here to wrap up today's show. And Danny Dusty, the fan. Chicago Bears head coach Ben Johnson had his introductory press conference. And look, I like somebody poking the bear poking.
You got to know the rivalries, my man.
And he knows, coming from the NFC North and the Lions, he knows exactly how this twisted, not triangle, it's a twisted square works.
I know this is the toughest division of football right now. There's three teams that made the playoffs this year. I've got tremendous amount of respect for the coaches and the players in this league. Haven't competed against them for the last 6 years. Dan Campbell, Kevin O'Connell, you're talking about two guys that are up for Coach of the Year awards as the season ends here. And to be quite frank with you, I kind of enjoyed beating Matt LaFleur twice a year.
Ooh. Love to see it.
Oh, hey, I love that from him.
Look, I've got a bunch of buddies who are Packers fans who cover the Milwaukee Bucks. And it was very funny to watch them kind of like, okay, yeah, you know, let's see about that. And I'm like, oh, he got under your skin already. This is going perfect.
Well, you do have to understand the rivalries and how much.
Oh, and like, the Packers have mauled them.
You could hear the reporters going to go, ooh. It's the fan base that's going to eat that stuff up.
Oh, yeah.
And it does help when you finally get off the schneid with your young core and an interim head coach and beating the Packers at the end of the regular season, right? And kind of getting finally that stink of losing to them. I don't know, for how long was that? Wasn't it like 6 years or something? And that they had lost to the Green Bay Packers every single time?
I mean, Aaron didn't lose for 10 years?
Yeah, I don't know.
I thought it was something obscene like that, wasn't it?
It was a long time.
Like, he absolutely annihilated them.
Yeah, well, I would assume that...
I mean, the Bears weren't good in that period, and the Packers were real good.
Yeah. All right, here we go. Got it. Packers are 9-1 since 2020, with their one loss coming this year.
Yeah.
And then you have to go back to, let's see, last Bears win before that was 2018. So, yeah, it was 6 years.
Okay.
Yeah. So, it's been a long time, though. I mean,
that's 7 years there, or 6 years with two wins.
Yeah.
That's tough. And then before that, didn't Green Bay win a ton in a row?
No, it was kind of back and forth a little bit.
God, I could have swore there
kind
was
of
a
back and forth. Well, I mean, it was like Packers sweep, then they split, Packers sweep, split.
Okay,
Packer
so they,
sweep,
so they
Packer
picked
Packer
up
sweep,
one in there every
split.
Now and then. Okay.
Yeah. It wasn't quite as one sided as it has been.
Maybe it wasn't 10 years that he did it. Maybe he was like 10-2 against them for at one point in time.
But yeah, it was 11. It was 11 straight.
Good God. That's tough.
That's very bad.
That's a tough place. But hey, look, Ben Johnson. All right, stirring the pot. I'd love to see it.
Yes.
Oh, this is fun. Remember?
Now get an offensive line and a better defense in the back end.
Make rivalries matter again.
Yes.
I love this. I want to bring hatred back to sports.
It's going to be weird, though, because there's going to be like a bro-off between he and Dan Campbell. Or do you think Dan Campbell just hates him?
I think he's dead to him.
Well, Amon-Ra St. Brown said that the exchange that he and Ben Johnson had is... I'm going to beat the F out of you. No, I'm going to beat the F out of you.
Mwah.
And that's how it should be.
Love it.
All right, we will see you tomorrow. It'll be a Thursday edition of Danny and Dusty. Coming up next is 4 hours of power from their mouths to your ears. Primetime with Isaac Suk right here on The Fan. Have a great day.
Bye.